Hey, we're level 9. He beat the final boss of book 2.
Wow, that was the weakest one
that was
pop ever.
Hilarious, too.
I fumbled it, y'all.
He, all that build up. Trying to open a wine bottle.
Do you know how to open
with
wine?
An actual corkscrew?
Hey!
He did it.
Oh, God, it's everywhere.
Tim, you can't just drink out of the bottle like that. We want some.
I'm about to say, you all are not going to drink any of this.
Wait, it's Cabernet. I actually do drink that.
Oh.
Yeah.
That,
I just don't drink any of your other gross wine.
As long as it's a white wine, I just don't like white wine. But red wine's all.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. So red wine supremacy over here. Yeah, I get it.
Yes. Well, red wine is much better.
Well, during
it's
the
healthy.
All the antioxidants. So, yeah.
It's made from grapes. Grapes aren't bad.
The only wine I drink is Thunderbird wine.
You're not a barefoot fan?
No.
Well, he's not a 55-year-old white woman, so.
No, he's more into the cupcake life. Barefoot is so 2010.
What's that shit that's like electric blue? Boone's Farm apple or something?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was thinking you were talking about, like, what's the one that teenagers drink? The Hypnotic or Mystic or whatever it's called?
Teenagers should not drink wine. What are you talking about?
No, it's not wine. It's some kind of vodka. But no, it's not wine. It's vodka. But no, it's like bright, like, it's like a bright blue, like, drink that, you know, people mix with, like, a bunch of stuff. But
does it have, like, that weird swirling effect?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That
looks like a magic potion.
That it does, yeah. It looks cool. It's just...
I'm waiting for Tim to drop the wine glass. Completely ruined his computer.
I am waiting for him to accidentally spill it on his bike.
Why do you guys wish such harm on Tim?
Because it's fun.
Because poor guy's just trying to enjoy some alcohol.
Because he's getting a little cocky there. Kelly.
It's almost noon and it's time to drink.
All right. Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
I have a story.
Oh my god, you have a story.
So this
shocker.
This morning when I was getting ready, I was debating whether or not to put any hair gel in my hair. And because we're going to be taking some headshots soon, fancy pictures. And my wife, Ariel, was like, why don't you just like try to put some in today? Just like as a test run. I'm like, okay. So I put some in and I had all my nice comfy clothes laid out. I had my, you know, Mariah Carey McDonald's collab.
Classic,
laid
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just had this vision in my head of red wine and my hairstyle. I'm like, I can't be wearing sweats and drinking red wine. So I literally dressed up in like a sweater, a nice shirt. I should have worn a tie, honestly.
When you came over from my house today, I was just like, is Timmy going somewhere later? I didn't have time to ask you, but...
Yeah, no, I just really wanted this aesthetic. Right, you can't see it, but maybe someone should take a picture of me.
I am rocking everything I slept in, I didn't do anything with my hair. I look like a complete animal, and Tim shows up looking nice.
I'm not going to lie, I thought you did style your hair. It looks kind of good.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Damn.
I mean, I wore a hat to go get.
Jonathan, you're a handsome looking man. Just take it.
Yeah.
I work an office job, and I work mostly from home. And it was like an unintended resolution, I guess, this year. But I just like randomly was like, you know what? I'm going to put real pants on when I work now.
Whoa.
So like, I wear actual pants around the house now when I'm working instead of just like pajama pants or, you know, whatever workout shorts I already have worn for 3 days.
Yep.
He doesn't wear a shirt, though.
No, definitely not.
Shirt optional.
Yeah.
I don't turn my camera on anyway.
Exactly.
I just use the excuse, like, I always have kids running in my background, so...
Yeah.
No point having my camera on. Everybody's like, yeah, it makes sense. It's mostly just because I look like shit.
Before, Kelly used to be completely nude. Now he has pants.
Yeah. Little steps. He did not say he put on underwear, so he could just be going commando.
Yeah.
With these pants.
Free balling.
He used to not wear pants, and then that caused him to have kids and a problem.
Right. It's an issue.
It flatters me how interested you all are in how much underwear I wear.
I mean, dude, we get nonstop letters about it.
Yeah, why don't the writers, listeners ever write in about my underwear choice?
Yeah.
Patreon goal.
Yeah. Hit us up on the Discord if you want to know more about our underwear choices. Tell us a letter if we do that, I guess.
We joke, but there might actually be questions.
I highly doubt it. I would be surprised.
Our Patreon goal. Calendar.
When come out with a Patreon.
DPS calendar.
DPS calendar. DPS swimwear calendar.
Yeah. Tier 3 will be we mail you a DPS underwear.
The real question is, when all our headshots come out, were we wearing pants?
That's another thing. Where's our merch going to sexy lingerie?
Oh, my God, yeah.
With the DPS logo.
That is untapped.
Teespring does have like sports bras and stuff like that. So
there we go.
That's not lingerie, but it is.
It could be fit.
It is underwear.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Start off your New Year's resolution of fitness with the DPS.
Also, well, Rebecca will not take pictures of you guys without your underwear on.
Oh, yeah.
We would have our underwear.
Good point.
It would be just us.
No, no, no. We'd contract another photographer for
me?
That shoot.
Maybe. You guys know.
Well, if there's one group of guys that I think would look great on a calendar, it's level 9 versions of your PCs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk about some level 9s.
Well.
What?
I got champion expertise. I'm expert in everything.
Uh-huh.
Divine Smite.
Oh.
That's going to do some good damage there. Juggernaut. Basically, if I ever roll and don't fail a fortitude save, I just automatically crit success. And lightning reflexes, so I'm a faster boy.
What does your Divine Smite do? Because that's like the most interesting thing.
Yeah, that thing is crazy. So.
I think it's a focus point to use, right?
Nope.
No.
It is every time you use Retributive Strike.
Yeah, I surround them with a Divine Halo, and they just get passive good damage, yeah. Which is what my Charisma modifier, so 4 damage a turn for basically 3.
So if you Retributive Strike something evil, it takes good damage.
Yep.
Which
you said persistent?
Persistent, yep. Good damage.
What?
As long as it's within the aura, I believe.
Yep.
So.
Oh my god.
It's pretty fucking good.
So, it's like they either stay and take the pain, or they back up and waste action economy.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh man. Jake, this game, I mean, this adventure path is hard.
Yeah.
But we just made it a lot harder for you.
Chick's gonna be like, everyone's neutral now.
My AC went up.
I have read book 3. I'll be fine.
Level 9 ancestry feats are pretty cool. What'd you end up taking?
What did I take?
That's like, yeah, ancestry feats get pretty cool at 9.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely took one.
I definitely took one. Because, pass.
Yeah, I'll tell you when I figure one out.
All right. Elk.
All right.
Elk level 9, what you got?
Yeah, he got, you know, skill increase and all that stuff, which I went into acrobatics. So he is now a master of acrobatics.
So you can fall from like 100 feet and not take any damage?
Close. 50 feet. So yeah, due to Cat's fall now, he can drop, like, treat falls as 50 feet shorter.
How far do you need to fall to in the real world? How far do you need to fall for like terminal velocity? Because
I have no idea.
I feel like 50 is definitely getting there, actually.
Yeah, I mean, let me do the equation. Was it 9.8 divided by something?
There's some crazy equation.
God, I can't remember physics from, like, high school. So he's a master in acrobatics now, so he can pretty much just fall from most heights. And
now you can take an awesome feat. Kip up.
Oh, kip up.
I can do, yeah, I was hoping that, well, probably next time I'll pick that up.
Okay,
Because that is just a nice skill feat. I get Nature's Edge, which allows me to, like, if an enemy's in difficult terrain, I just get they're flat-footed to me automatically.
So,
dang, that's cool.
So it's just like, oh, like, you're in the mud, oh well, I get a bonus to hit.
That's awesome.
And
so you just became Nature's Edge Lord?
Yeah. Damn straight I did.
Dude, we need to like take spells to help him get enemies in difficulty.
Like, oh yeah, like spike growth or some shit
Take AoE spells and make
Get an extra.
I mean, a lot of that AOE. Unfortunately is going to be more primal, but there's got to be one or two arcane spells that can do that.
We need a druid.
Yeah.
Druids.
So I get ranger expertise. Basically that does nothing because I really have no ranger spells. But that just says like my ranger class DC increases to expert.
Yeah.
I don't have ranger spells. And for the ancestor feat, I'll keep that a secret for now.
Ooh. All right. Kelly.
Yeah. Level 9. My ancestry feat, I took Pervasive Superstition, which is an orc feat. Half orc feat. Orc feat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Orc feat.
You steep yourself in superstition and practice ancient orc mental exercises for shrugging off the effects of magic. You gain +1 bonus to saving throws against spells and magical effects at all times.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Damn.
Huh.
And fun fact, dragon's breath is magic.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, it is.
So, very useful. It was between that and Undying Ferocity, which is when I use Orc Ferocity, I gain temporary hit points equal to my level, which is a pretty good one, too.
Oh, man, that is a good one.
But I went with the saves because I need defense. And I'm going to probably get breathe fire on
So. Sorcerers also don't have great saves compared to the other classes. So.
I do not.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it. I got my reflex save went up to expert.
Oh, okay, cool. Nice.
So and then, But the big thing for level 9 is access to level 5 spells.
Mm, yep. Yeah, that's what I'm upset about.
Yep. I'll just give you my bloodline spell.
Okay.
Because that's the one I don't have. That's not an option. It is a chromatic wall.
Damn.
For the dragon bloodline. So this is a
that's
pretty
great.
Interesting spell. I won't read the whole thing, but you basically cast it. It lasts 10 minutes, which is kind of crazy.
Damn.
And you create an opaque wall of light in a single vibrant color. The wall is straight and vertical, stretching 60 feet long and 30 feet high.
Jeez.
Sheds light on either side. And then you roll 1d4 to determine the color, and each color does different things.
Oh, it's random.
Yep.
That's cool.
I do like the randomness spells. Yeah.
So that at this level, it can be red, orange, yellow, and green. And when heightened to level 7, it can be blue, indigo, or violet.
Oh, that's when you start getting into the really messed up stuff.
Yeah.
And the duration increases to an hour, apparently.
Wow. Going back to like your ancestry feat, like you kind of like tuning into like those ancient orc mind exercises, I feel like that follows like your character growth, because we, you know, episode 1 Kezra was like, you know, waking up hungover, in a horse stall,
missing his pants.
And these days, like, it's like, oh, Adalar like calls out Kezra, are you taking your morning dump? And you're like, no, Kezra's actually meditating. And it's like, huh?
Yeah, Kezra's definitely been getting a little more.
Kezra's a good boy.
He's still an asshole, but he's gotten a little bit more serious, I'd say. Mm-hmm. He's definitely, as he's gaining more power, facing more powerful foes, he's starting to like hone in on like, I'm gonna be big and I'm gonna be powerful and I gotta be serious. So yeah, he has been kind of buffering his mind to become to compete with these powerful creatures.
Yeah.
All right, Addy, and what did you get?
All right, I will go ahead and say my ancestry feat because it's so cool. Otherworldly acumen.
Uh-huh.
So the prereq, I think, was I had to do like some sort of arc. I had to get some sort of. Oh no, prereq is just an elf. So I get a
just an elf.
Yeah,
you're just an elf. Don't worry.
Yeah. So I can choose every day a spell, a second level common spell from the arcane tradition. So I honestly didn't realize I could change it every day, which is pretty sweet. Yeah, it's a pretty awesome just way to expand my toolkit, because, mm-hmm. You know, I'm locked to divine spells.
Yeah.
So to be able to choose arcane ones, there are some pretty sweet arcane spells that, like, don't have to be leveled up to be very useful.
I mean, the arcane spell list is the spell list you go with if you have options.
I think everyone can do it.
And then Adalar, after his experience with his mind and his dreams being invaded by the Sorrowmaker himself,
yep.
Abadar has steeled his mind with resolve.
Oh.
So whenever I roll a success at a will save, I get a crit success instead.
Damn.
Whoa.
So I'm coming for all those mental effects, Jake.
Yep.
Just don't even. Me. Actually, I would say don't even try them on me. But I'm like, no, please, bring them on.
Right, yeah.
Bring them on.
I want you to try to cast down on me.
One thing I just noticed on my app is now I can cast, since Illusory Objects, my signature spell, I can cast it at 5th level now, which makes the duration unlimited.
Oh. Is this the return of Elbow?
I can make Elbow live forever.
Oh my god. Just a cardboard cutout following us for.
So wait, now if you go to cast that, do you have to sustain it, or can it just stay there forever?
It's not sustained. I think you can only have one active at a time.
Okay, though. All right. So yeah, but so you can cast Elbow here in the Wawangi and then just have it there until you need to cast it again. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it just leaves it in the elephant village. Just they missed his friend.
Yeah. All right. So one of the things that Kelly mentioned earlier was access to level 5 spells. And as our listeners may or may not know, divine casters, they prepare spells every day.
Yep.
So that means I get to just choose from the list.
Yeah, you have any fun ones that you chose then?
Yeah. Right. I figure, like, because they're going to change so much, I'll just go ahead and tell the listeners what I decided on for, like, my initial choosing.
Right.
Breath of Life. As a reaction, a living creature within range would die. So that's the trigger for the reaction. And as long as they're within 60 feet of me, I can not only rebuke death, but I also can heal them for 4d8 plus your spellcasting ability modifier.
And wow. That's if they go, what, dying four?
No, that's if they just go into die. Oh, a living creature in range would die.
Like, is
yeah, that's dead. Yeah, sound yeah, like yeah, dead, yeah. Dead, yeah.
Yeah,
dead,
so,
dead.
Like, again, if Kezra gets caught and
right.
gets cornered by something.
Yeah, now the caveat is that the triggering, you can't use Breath of Life if the triggering effect was disintegrate or a death effect.
Yeah,
and there are okay. plenty
all right, yeah.
that are those. Or not, no, there's only one disintegrate, but there's plenty of death effects.
Yeah,
Vampiric Touch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the low level one. Death yeah. Knell is also.
Yep. If Finger of Death is a spell in this, then that's another one that's yep. like the devastating death effect spell.
And then I took this other spell. It's called Sending.
Oh, man, Sending.
Yeah, three actions. One creature with whom you are familiar. You send the creature a mental message of 25 words or fewer, and it can respond immediately with its own message of 25 words or fewer. Oh. So that's awesome. We get separated. The range is planetary?
Yes.
So I can literally, yes. as long as they're on this planet.
Or Galarian.
On Galarian. So if they're fine. Not.
That's one to go, oh, oh, shit.
Yeah. So I feel like this one is... It's pretty huge.
Yeah.
Yep.
God,
pretty,
that's big.
Pretty huge.
That would be funny. It's like, yeah, I'll just send him a quick
25-word message.
It's like yep. a little text message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Limit is 140 characters.
All right, so John, did you find an ancestry feat to take?
I did, but we're going to keep it on the down low until it comes
out.
Ooh.
Ooh, okay. All right, so I'm expecting an email from you. I guess.
An email?
An email.
What are you, 50?
No, he needs to fax it.
Good yeah. Lord, Jake.
So.
Telegram.
As you guys struck down Balmazog, what do you guys do?
Just see. Well, Elk sees this dragon just yeah. kind of appearing.
Yes, he said his name is Kyrion, and yeah. he mysteriously said you guys leveled up. I don't know how he knows that.
What?
He speaks nonsense. Slay him.
Slay him. But, like, what were those stones? Were they, like, rubies? Were they...
Are those giant eyeballs?
Yeah, the eyeballs. Yeah, they were just some kind of a nondescript gem. I say nondescript because they didn't say. Yeah, I mean, when you kick them out, they go crashing to the floor. And
crashing
they just
as in they're salvageable? Are they... Still
of course
worth
they're salvageable. Okay, I know that they're like the eyes and everything. There's literally a pool of molten gold.
That's true.
We have yet to address well, that. I think what the thing that
oh, no, Adelar... we addressed it.
No, we addressed it. And I thought as soon as the eyes were popped out, the gold stopped flowing, right? Isn't that how magic worked?
So the gold stopped flowing and it's starting to like settle at this point.
Gotcha. But like primarily he sees this dragon go up and he's just kind of like looking at him. He goes, "Oh, so are you, I'm assuming you're on our side."
"Yes. Do we have some kind of accord?"
"To assume I'm on anyone's side is a strange notion."
"Indeed. I do not ask for you to be our allies. I just want to know whether we should be on guard."
"No. I am already weak. It would be foolish to fight you all."
"My thoughts exactly. Tell me what...
How did you end up chained up here?"
"Indeed.
I was born here, in fact, and Balmazog thought that if she sacrificed me in some sort of ritual to the Hawk, that it would give her favor in the coming of the Sour Maker. She would perform many, many things on me, as you can see, and he points to the glowing gold crystal embedded into his chest.
Can I do some sort of knowledge on that glowing gold crystal?
You may. Go ahead and make me an arcana, or this could be dragon lore as well.
Occult. Dragon lore.
No, not occult. I want to give you occult, man, so I really
Come
do.
Come on!
Just not there.
Ooh, that's not bad. 27.
Give me one second to go.
God, I rolled terrible both times.
Oh. Let me get to that part.
Meanwhile, Elk backflips off of the skull.
Straight into the gold.
Straight into the gold.
Immediately Scrooge sinks and burns to death.
Scrooge McDuck's in there.
Yeah, I was about to say, you start swimming in it.
Heal me! Just keep healing me. This is fine.
Do humans float in gold?
I feel
are
like
we less dense than gold, I would assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we it would be like the whole thing with lava. You don't sink in lava, you kind of skip across the surface because yeah. Yeah, so you're not as
like,
dense.
You just like fall on top and get coated
cooked.
In molten gold.
Cooked immediately.
Cooked immediately. Gross.
Yeah. You look at the shard in his chest and wait, what was your total?
27.
Not even close. Yeah, this looks like it does feel magical. I can say that, you know, if you guys like even do detect magic and stuff, there's a lot of magic in here, but that does radiate with some fractured yet powerful magic. I can say that. But yeah, you have no idea what this thing is.
Would crafting help be helpful?
You could try that. It specifically says that if you roll the check to identify magic, so
yeah, well. Probably not then.
Yeah, but
I rolled a 3 and a 5 for my Arcana and my Lore Dragon. So
you kind of look at it, and there's a little bit of like, wow, that's just a little fucked up. Yeah. like you can't get over the fact that it's just like in his chest.
Can I roll to see why Balmazog would think sacrificing a dragon to Dahak would be helpful?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead and roll Lore Dragon.
Can I roll religion on that?
Goddamn 3 again! Fuck!
Damn, I'll roll religion.
Damn, I thought you were good at dragon lore, though.
Ooh, yikes. Nat 1.
Damn.
Hold on.
Yeah, you think that Balmazog kind of was onto something. And you're like, guys, maybe we should sacrifice.
Quick cuddle. So, get him while he's weak.
So Adalar casts sending and sends a message to Kezra in his mind. And says, Balmazog was onto something. If we can sacrifice his dragon to Dahak, maybe we can acquire the power that they were trying to get.
Can I respond?
You can respond. 25 words or fewer.
Pick your words.
Pick your words very carefully.
Don't be an idiot, Adalar. Stay focused.
What the fuck is my religion?
Where the fuck is my religion?
That's what Adalar was wondering himself. Yeah,
that's a song right there.
I cannot find it. I love Nat once. That's great.
they're pretty funny. Yeah, it's under proficiencies if you go.
Well, it's because like I don't know what half these.
Hey, Kyrian, come back here in the center pedestal.
not bad.
So I just rolled a 30.
A 30.
Wow.
Yeah, you look at that and you're like inspect it while you guys are like talking and you don't know either.
Well, this is why this is for rolling to see why Balmazog would sacrifice Kyrian.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, you're thinking about it, and it just seems like because the way that you figure, Balmazog just looks at the fact that because Dahak is going to destroy everything, that this would be like a worthy sacrifice to him of some kind. It's not entirely clear. That's because you all are rational people. So,
yeah. Speaking of Balmazog, I dragged its body out, and
yep,
want to take a look at what's in there.
So on her, she was actually like a spellcaster, so she did not have much. However,
useless. Kick it back in.
Yeah, it's fine.
Spellcaster, you say?
Spellcaster. You guys want to look at the treasure in her nook? I assume.
There's a nook.
There's a nook.
I don't know if I want to go look at any treasure until we make sure we have some sort of accord with Kyrian, personally.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We're just kind of ignored him for a moment. Hey, let me check this body.
Yeah, I was going to say, Kyrian's still there.
Right.
You guys were looking at the shard, and he just kind of, like, looks down at it, obviously weak. He's sort of, like, hunched. Mm. He's, like, laying there. And he's just like, shard of something powerful. Fragment of the Scarlet Triad gifted to Balmazog to aid her in the ritual she performed to raise the dragon pillars. Looking at his wound, you can see it protruding out of his chest and sort of like touches it and it like he like winces. The gold around the wound inflicted by the shard is a manifestation of its power, I think. It's painful, but not agonizing. It's a complete violation of my personal autonomy. But from an arcane viewpoint, it is very interesting.
I wish I knew what it was or where it came from. But alas, I cannot help you on that.
We could remove it for you.
I am quite skilled in the medical arts.
I'm reasonably sure taking it will kill me, so no.
Don't. Is it, like, around his heart or something?
Oh, yeah. Oh. It is deep in his chest.
Oh, okay.
On second thought, never mind.
Don't touch me. Hands off.
I do have some healing magic.
No. Full heal him. Let's practice here.
Yeah, maybe it's like a
use that
like
new spell you just got.
That's true. We can remove it, rebuke death, and bring it back.
No thanks.
Ah, come on, Pat. Don't be a coward.
Well, never known a dragon to act like a kobold, but in fact, Jesus, dude, a new day shit. For everything.
When he said Scarlet Triac, I know in our role on that.
Yeah.
Roll for initiative.
Roll for initiative. He killed.
Dude, he's like wounded four and shit.
Right, right, I know, he's wounded.
That would be a 28 for criminology. I mean, not criminology, crap. Criminal underworld.
Elk studied criminology at the University of Absalom.
I flunked out.
So I'll let you carry that over, but the more that he talks, and you're starting to make some connections as if they have some deep underground connections, and because their stuff is reaching way out here into the Mwangi, it seems like they're collecting things. That they have their hands out and have their hands and fingers in places around the world, and it seems like they collect things. That's sort of what you're getting, is if like whenever someone like talks about them, it's because like a transfer was made.
Yeah,
and you're like, I don't get it. Mm. Like, I don't know what you don't know what they're dealing with, but they collect and they transfer things and they move stuff, but like you're not sure what. Mm.
It seems quite troubling. We've been hearing about the Scarlet Triad for so many other times, but the more I keep hearing about them, they seem to be collecting.
Kyrian speaks up. An organization of foreigners who seems to delight in meddling with the Zealots, as far as I can tell. They were using us, certainly. They were far too powerful and have too many resources to see us, to want us as equals. I suspect they're using the Cinder Claws to prepare this region for some unknown plans of their own. All of which I told Belmazog repeatedly, but no. Belmazog knows best. Well, now we know where that got her.
As he looks at the limp corpse of her on the edge of the dais.
Half melted, I think you said too, like she's half burning.
So you say you grew up here, correct?
What was your childhood like?
So, where'd you go to school?
Adelar takes out a notepad and suddenly like a reclining couch appears.
Tell me about your early years.
Did you get Legos or are you stuck with Mega Blocks?
Did you get Crayolas or was it Rose... Was it Rose?
Rosecraft.
Rosecraft?
Yeah.
Or Rose Art. It's either
Rose Art, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like
the
weird wax ones. Yeah. When you went out to eat, did they say, no, we have McDonald's at home? Was your burger made with toast instead of an actual bun?
Oh.
I could just keep going. When they did mac and cheese, was it just noodles with Kraft slices on top of it?
Now you're just being needlessly classless.
Hey, I'm just saying what I've seen.
I don't know how, but my egg was transferred here, I assume by Scarlet Triad. And I was hatched here, and they raised me to be some sort of monster. However, Balmazog and I had irreconcilable philosophical disagreement. I was of the opinion that she was an idiot. After a pervasive argument on her part, I was forced to amend my argument. She is an idiot, with the good fortune to have powerful supporters in the Scarlet Triad.
And what are your intentions now that you're free?
I wish to leave this place. Perhaps I have unlikely allies in you. perhaps we will meet again. But I wish to recover from what I've endured here.
Do you have sight on revenge for the Scarlet Triad, by chance?
There's one thing I wish to see go up in flames. It would be them and everything that they work with.
You definitely have an ally in us.
Do you know where they're based out of?
No. In fact, I do not. As I said, I hatched here.
I'm guessing Belmazog didn't ever mention any sort of documents or maps with that kind of information.
No. In fact, you can go read it. Before we had our disagreement, I worked with her on many things. She had a slight communication with someone at the Scarlet Triad. But I don't believe I've ever met them.
Well, that does give us a lead. It's very much appreciated. But yes, I have the ability to make contact with any creature across Galarian. So I will, I'll check in routinely. Not too routinely, I don't want to bother you, but if we find out more information about the Scarlet Triad and where their hideout is, we will be sure to let you know in case you want to join in the fray, and if your wounds are recovered by then.
We shall see if this thing ever leaves my chest. If it does, I will respond.
Well, we did offer you a solution, but you turned us down, so good luck with that.
They can kill you and bring you back to life. What's the big deal?
We definitely aren't going to kill you and take all your scales and sell them.
Yeah. I'll just make a necklace out of them.
Benson, you know me. If a deal is made before Abadar, I honor it.
So I just imagine Adar, hey, hope it's not a bad time, but can you please respond back?
hey, I left you a message.
You haven't responded to my last four messages.
Hey,
I'm gonna make sure you're okay.
Hey, it's me again.
You up?
You up?
No, leave me alone.
So he looks over at the dais and sort of. He has the eyes as if he's like flipping off the skull of Dahak, and then he looks over at the large pile of treasure in the nook.
Don't you even think about it. We will kill you for that and not blink.
And we will bring you back.
And then we will bring you back.
With a giant hole in your chest.
We'll just put some paper towels in there.
Wait, we'll just take her heart and put it in yours. It's fine.
He's got this awesome product called JB Weld.
Flex tape.
He looks
That's a lot of damage.
He looks it over and he just goes, can have it. I have no use for it anymore. Huh. I do not have the malevolence of my great father.
Oh, he was
a We shall speak again.
Indeed, we shall.
And he flies out, blasting through all the doors.
Hey, I thought you said he was weak. He was faking the whole time.
Weak for a dragon would still fuck you up royally.
Yeah.
He has no sentimental attachment to his birth home.
No, not even a little bit. It literally says, once the conversation is over, Kiri would prefer to lead the region to recover from his trauma.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yes.
I know a great therapist in Breach Hill.
Who?
the Church of Phrasma lady.
Oh, yeah. No. I thought you were like, oh, the bartender, you know.
I thought you meant Gene Goblin.
I was about to say Gene Goblin. Yes.
Attorney at law and also
side hack as a
therapist. A licensed therapist.
So you're looking for a lawyer?
He's like, I'm a therapist. Don't say I'm licensed, though.
I'm legally obligated to tell you I'm not licensed.
I'm not licensed.
I'm just a good listener. As long as I'm a retainer. Could I do a check
start
on...
Start going through the treasure, I guess.
Yeah.
Did I interrupt you?
Well, no, you're fine. Just wanted to do a check on Belmazon, because like, I remember like she looks completely different, because she's a boggard.
She is technically a boggard,
but she looks
yeah.
like a dragon. Kin,
yep.
At least.
Belmazog is technically a boggard who was born and shifted into her draconic form via, the power of Dahak.
Okay.
So, she's just a weird abomination of it. So, much like the Chabrakha that were turned into the Dahak's Chosen or Dahak's Children, I forget what they were called, but, they, in the same way that they did, they were sort of, like, You know how, like, I think it's, like, ogres that are, like, weird and morphed?
Oh, yeah.
They were like that. She is, like, a perfected version of that.
That's why she looked straight up, like, almost like a mini dragon.
Yeah, yeah. She looked like a dragonkin or
like a six-foot kobold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So, treasure.
Treasure! Yay! Treasure. My favorite part.
You find a investigation of Belmazog's nook reveals several pages of notes spread of various journals, scrolls, and parchment. Reveals much about her plans and her personality, as well as a few sort of like correspondence back and forth with the Scarlet Triad. It's really just about like what they're getting and, you know, her plans and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It really feels like... as you read through them, it does feel as though that she is completely convinced, even in her journals, that she is completely convinced that they are helping her. But when you read correspondence from the Scarlet Triad, they're just like, yeah, 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 whatever. Get to the fucking Iodara. Like, they really, really just want that.
Yeah. Mm. My best thing about an egomaniac is they always leave a detailed paper trail.
So, yeah, it would take hours and hours to go through it all, but as you're going through, you see that stuff. You do see, I'll say, skimming through, you do see the name Laszlin show up again.
Laszlin?
Laszlin was the person that was talking to... Let's see if anybody can remember her name.
Oh, the wizard who was trying to set up the...
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, I had such a good character moment with her, too.
Oh.
Vaz.
Yep. Yes, so Laszlin, Laszlin, Laszlin was the person that was talking to Vaz Lorraine.
That's right.
So this Laszlin character was also in contact with Belmazog somehow.
Hmm.
Like I said, that'll be 8 hours worth of reading that we will probably go over next episode. Treasure, however. As you go through the... Let's just... You know what? Let's just go through the coin count first.
Oh, shit.
Give me it all.
The treasure consists of 830 gold pieces.
Oh, yay.
3,950 silver pieces.
Jeez.
7,800 copper pieces. A sack of 20 arsenic-laced gold nuggets worth 50 gold pieces each.
Mm-hmm.
You also find... a very cool-looking rod of some kind. You also find a wand of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
You also find a sweet-looking shield that we will go over in a second.
Oh, boy.
Mark, do you use a short bow or a long bow?
Long bow. Oh, short bow. Sorry, I'm using a short bow.
You find a... I'll just give this one to you. It is a +2 striking long bow.
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah.
Damn. Holy shit.
What do you guys want to identify first?
Well, Adalar is going to cast Mage Hand and begin scooping up one bulk or less of the molten gold into little piles so that when it hardens, we can harvest that gold.
You cast Mage Hand and you go over and you pick up a glob of molten gold. As you take it out, it evaporates into nothingness.
The gold?
Yes.
No!
Oh.
What?
Interesting.
It's almost like we can't game that system.
Man, they really thought everything.
Yeah, they sure did.
They're like, I don't... These crummy little PCs are going to come here, and they're going to try to take all this gold.
We'll just make it evaporate.
Damn you, Paizo.
All right, what is
you
the...
You know your players too well.
All right, what's the in-game reason? Just give it to me.
That's it. It's
magic.
It's magic.
All right. So it's not real gold.
Hold on.
No, it's probably real. It's just that you can't. It can't leave that area. Probably. Yeah.
But.
You gotta like drag Adalar out. Like he's like.
It's probably like millions of pounds of gold.
That's what I'm saying.
We got a bag of holding.
The molten gold is maintained by the magic of Dahak's fossilized remains.
Yep.
The stone bowl is 3 feet deep. The molten gold deals 46 fire damage to any creature that moves into it, but it fades away to noxious mist if removed from the bowl.
Dude, just get this
noxious
look on his
mist.
Face.
Noxious mist.
Oh. Okay.
Fucking bullshit.
It's a little stinky.
Or poisonous.
Stinky. You breathe in some stinky gold mist.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Smells good like stuff. Gold.
Never been able to snort gold before.
Well, it's just as good as I thought. And then Adalar died.
Guys, I think Adalar's high as shit.
He's got gold poisoning?
All right. Arcana checks on these magic items?
Oh, yeah.
So let's go wand first.
I'm bummed.
On the wand.
I was looking forward to that.
I knew you were.
So long.
I thought you were just on, like...
I was so excited for the past three episodes. 30, you guys.
30 on the wand.
30 on the wand!
Damn.
That is a wand of Dimension Door.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
That's actually perfect for Kezra because he needs it.
He needs that, yeah.
What level, though?
But I have Blink.
Is it a...
It does not say greater.
Probably a fourth level spell.
Yeah.
That's what Dimension level. Door is.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you can only Dimension Door something in sight for the base level. The heightened one is you can go anywhere that you...
It does not say greater, so...
Yeah.
It's only a free fourth level spell.
I think it's still a range of like 500 or something.
Yeah,
either 100
or 500. It's still an absurd range.
Yeah, he can keep it in one hand and if he's cornered, he can just poof.
Yeah, I'm saying it's the base because otherwise it would say greater. That's one, true. One dimension.
He basically turns into a Nightcrawler.
Yeah, 120.
Range. Yeah, 120. Yeah. No, that's great.
Did you say also it was a composite long or just a long?
It's just a... Did you want a composite one?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. Plus two striking composite long.
That's so huge.
Awesome.
You.
Yeah.
Dang. Okay.
Gets my shit up.
Dimension Door. That's a great one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an insane wand.
Okay. This is kind of... this is like a little bit freaking me out.
Okay.
So we... You know, they're trying to get to the Iodara, which is like the gate, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We know that, you know, gates are of Alceta.
Yes.
So you identify this wand as being Dimension Door, and like a chill runs through Adalar, and he gets a little pale, and he's like, "It's no coincidence that we found that wand here. Do you know who the goddess of travel is?"
No.
Alceta. Too many pieces that are connecting here, and this is no coincidence. Guard that wand.
Indeed.
We don't know what doors it could open.
Yes, I'll keep it guarded.
And use it to get out of trouble, because you always are on this diet.
You were always putting yourself in fucking situations, man.
But now Kezra can't die, because he can cast Blink, and then he has Dimension Door too.
Sticks it in his little robes, like, right next to his easiest access to get you.
Just get little Kezra to hold it for you.
No. We need to get him a Chewbacca's sash.
Where
he's got all the...
Or little Kezra is the sash.
That's true,
wrapped around him.
Just wrapped around him.
These Cinder Claws or the Scarlet Triad, whatever they clearly want access to these portals to gain power, to gain access to the world. Wherever those gates take us.
The only thing is that they do require a key.
Yes.
For each one.
Yes. We only have one.
Yes.
It pulls out the little arrowhead. Like, actually, I don't know how big it is, but I imagine it's like...
It's an arrowhead.
Yeah, a little arrowhead.
Yeah.
Well, does anything in this treasure look like a key to you?
What about that rod? Can you identify it? Perhaps it is more than just for casting magic.
Natural 20.
No freaking way!
Jacob was like, God damn it.
Rod of Wonder.
What? Rod of Wonder!
Rod of Wonder.
Oh, shit.
Let me go re-Rod of Wonder for you, everyone.
Oh, that's such a fun one.
Yes.
Rod of Wonder.
I am very excited for this one because it is a amazing, amazing item. So the Rod of Wonder. Oh. Rod of Wonder.
This is such a classic item.
This peculiar rod is strange and unpredictable. Each time it is activated, it produces one of a variety of effects at random. Two action, command, and interact, so pretty simple. Effect, choose a creature within 60 feet and roll a D percentile on the table below to determine the rod's effect. If the entry lists only a spell name, the rod casts that spell at its lowest level. You make any decisions for the spell cast by the rod unless otherwise indicated, except that it must target the creature you chose, or the creature you chose must be the center of the spell's area. So if you do it and then it's a fireball centered on that creature. If it has an area but no targets, the spell's range
That's from the last sentence.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. If the spell's range is less than 60 feet, increase the range to 60 feet, which is kind of cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Any spell DC required is DC 27, and any spell attack roll is 1d20 plus 17.
Holy shit.
If the rock casts a spell on you, you don't get a saving throw or other defense against it. Once activated, the rod can't be activated again for 1d4 hours.
Wow. Okay. So it's one per battle.
So
kind of. Even less than that.
There is a, like I said, D percentile. There is not just spells. There's a bunch of shit in here. Leaves grow from the target. They last 24 hours. That's range 1 to 3.
Nice.
All right. Range 16 to 25 is lightning bolt. There's a stinking cloud. Summon an ineffective mouse.
Nice.
A gust of wind. The non-living unattended object closest to the target. Oh, wait. Let me see if I can actually read this. I can't read it all the way. There's another one that just says, you turn blue, green, or purple with an unlimited duration.
No.
Unlimited duration?
Yep.
I blew myself.
I'm blue, da-da-dee, I'm back.
There's another one that says, the target is coated in nectar. But, I mean, there's other stuff here. There's fairy fire. There's a lot. There's a lot there. Rod of Wonder, Kelly, I imagine just have a shortcut to that and yeah. use that when you want.
Wait, are you thinking Kezra wants the Rod of Wonder?
I assume.
Kezra actually, he's giving it like a weird look. He knows what it is and he's like, no, what a peculiar item. Do you know what this is? The Rod of Wonder.
A Rod of Wonder, do you say?
Yes, it's a very, very rare item.
Oh, I know about it. Its effects are chaotic. It goes against everything Abadar stands for.
Can I make a will save?
We must destroy it.
Throw it in the goal.
Come in the goal. No. Kezra!
What are you making the will save for?
To see if I can resist the allure.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it is literally antithema to Abadar.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But there is that side of me.
There's that side of him.
Side of Abadar.
Trading it like the One Ring.
Exactly, yeah. What's it? I got a 38, though. Rolled a natural 19.
Hey, don't you also have an effect that you get a crit success anyway?
I do.
So a double crit success. You recoil as you see it. You're like, bah!
That is an abomination of all that is orderly. I suspect you would find better use of it, Kezra.
I don't know. I see you. You're curious.
Take it.
Kessler's like, come on.
Do what you want it.
Take it.
And, did you ever see the burn in his hand, the mark of the burning tree?
I don't know if Kessler saw that.
So
yeah, you did keep it pretty hidden.
Didn't that heal? Or anyway?
It definitely, like, what? It's not as poignant, but there's a scar left behind from it. So actually, Adalar takes off one of his healer gloves. And he shows the party, mostly Kezra, the back of his hand, and you see burned into his skin a brand of a burning tree.
You see this mark.
Where did you get that?
Do you remember when we were on the outskirts of Vaz's hideout, and I started a localized forest fire?
It was a controlled burning.
Oh, yes. One of my favorite memories of you.
That was awesome.
It was around the time you showed me how to harness some power the power of the dragons in regards to fire. Well, I let that side of me overtake, and I went against the precepts of Abadar a bit too much, and he branded me as a reminder to not stray too far. And I see this as a test. The gods test us in many ways. This Rod of Wonder is no different. You may think it is a chance circumstance, but I see this as an opportunity to prove my allegiance where it should be. The god who gives me strength and power, Abadar, is about virtue, fairness, and order. That rod is everything against what I stand for.
Fine. I'll take it.
Maybe seems like you're coming out the big winner this this hall. Kezra. Oh,
wait. Wasn't there a shield?
There is a shield.
Yeah. I'll take that. I didn't tell you all that I took
He tries
shield.
To pick it up.
Oh, it's so heavy.
25.
This is called a Dragon Slayer shield.
Oh my god.
Now, there's a caveat to this, because we're going to figure out what kind of Dragon Slayer shield. But let me just start reading this to you. A Dragon Slayer shield is a steel shield covered with dragon hide from a certain type of dragon, which distinguishes each shield from others. When raised, the steel shield, hardness 8, HP 32, blah, 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 grants a circumstance bonus to reflex save against area effects. Not just dragon breath, but all.
Whoa. Oh, shit.
A whole thing.
While you hold the shield, you also gain a plus 2 circumstance bonus to will saves against Dragon's Frightful Presence ability.
Oh, that's damn. So good.
The shield has resistance 10 against the damage type corresponding to the dragon whose hide was used in its creation.
No freaking way.
This applies after reducing damage for hardness. So when you use Shield Block, the Dragon Slayer shield takes 18 less damage from a takes 18 less damage from attacks of that damage type. You can use Shield Block against attacks that deal damage of that type.
Damn.
Ooh.
So.
Wait. So it said you can use Shield Block against damage of that type. You could use Shield Block against Dragon's Breath.
Then. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
That is
freaking
like some,
cool.
That's some like Beowulf shit.
This yeah. is just... a item level 9.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, I just got a cracked shield, and now I'm getting another one.
Just forget your sword. Just
yeah, dual shield.
Dual shield build.
Everstand. What was it? Everstance or something?
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like the one
yeah.
that you wield a shield with two hands yeah. and just bash boom, boom. Something to death.
I killed a lot of people in Dark Souls doing that.
Yeah.
So, here's the thing. I did not want to pick the dragon hide, because obviously if I picked red, it would just be a little on the nose. But red dragons are not the only thing in this. There are many different types. In fact, Belmazog shot acid.
Yeah.
So
would that be black then? Black dragons?
No. The green. She green was green, poison. I believe. No. I think it was black.
Black is acid.
Poison. Black green. Is poison.
Black is acid. Green is poison.
Ah.
Green poison.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway. So there is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's a 10 types of dragons, dragon hide that can be on this. Jonathan, I want you to roll a 1d10.
Oh, man.
And then we will find out what resistance you will have.
Oh, man. It's going to be the one dragon that never shows up. I'm calling it.
9. 9.
1, 2, 9. Ooh. This might be cool for you. It is silver.
Oh, oh no. Poor silver dragon.
I got a silver dragon tide shield.
Silver or white means cool resistance dragon. To cold.
Yep.
Okay.
I'll take it.
I mean, it's
you say it's silver or...
silver or white is are the last two.
Okay, because I was like, man, that would be a silver dragon, because paladins... Yeah. Like silver.
Yeah, that's why I was saying it's actually cool for him because then he's like taking
incentive. To,
yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah, shit. or you know, the silver dragon is still protecting him.
Yeah,
and still leading the charge against it. Like even in death.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it is a there is a also kind of cool because of course they would have killed a silver dragon and
yeah, yeah
fucking,
that's true. That's true.
And you know, skinned it. So yeah, you have a silver. Silver dragon-hided Dragon Slayer shield.
So, I imagine Kezra is telling me all this.
Yes.
You're holding it, and you notice Benson's eyes get a little glassy for a second, and he's looking at the shield. And out of nowhere, he just raises his hand, and the shield floats towards him, because Benson just used Mage's hand.
Uh-huh.
When'd you learn that trick?
By watching you.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I've just felt like I could do that for a while now, and I just figured out how to use it. It's not uncommon for champions of House Black to develop something similar to this, so I'll have to keep my eyes open.
Curious, you're full of mysteries, Mr. Indeed. Black.
The Divine blesses you. Magic flows through your blood, and you wear that curious cape.
Champions of House Black have shaped the world for generations.
Mixed with all kinds.
With Belmazog, like you say, the body's just there. Like, Elk's actually, he's just going to start taking pieces from her. But he's ultimately going to pick her up and take her outside.
Okay.
Basically, removing, like, the bodies and just... His goal is just, like, a weird thing that's kind of in his head that he's going to put it out to into the jungle, basically, at this point. Like,
gotcha.
If it wants to. Because in here, it would, like, this place is a blight.
Yeah. The magic has left. Like I said, it doesn't have the residual heat that it once did when the Hawk Power was here. But
it kind of like has that thing of like, well, it's just be like a rotting corpse, and for some reason there's just a thing that he just wants to take it outside and then let the jungle take care of it at this point.
You said you were like collecting stuff from it or no?
Like curiosities of it. Like,
okay.
Probably like he wouldn't be doing
blatantly. Hearts.
Huh?
No hearts.
I don't know.
I'm gonna pay close attention to Elkwood to see if he...
Yeah, like, he's not...
Gets any viscera. See if he's carrying on with his old ways.
Well, he's just kind of... Old ways. I remember when I first met him, and he was taking the hearts of people.
I guess his new ways, I should say.
Yeah, but he just kind of, like, starts looking over... Like, he's just kind of curious, because, I mean, like, back to the whole thing, like, it's a... I don't want to say the word aberration, but kind of an aberration of the regular boggards.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a curiosity to him, and he just kind of starts looking at it, and like she's half melted, I think, from the gold, and just kind of starts taking, like, he's not like corpse collecting at all, though, but he's just kind of looking her over, but then ultimately just picks her up.
Yeah.
And throws her out into kind of like the water.
Yeah. And she floats for a second, but then sinks. And you...
Because it's a swamp.
So
it'll be...
You see some sort of swamp fish sort of come up. Not like...
another gator.
Another gator. You see some fish coming up and inspecting her, and they begin to tear into her. Biting at what soft flesh or muscle is exposed from the combat, sort of tearing away at it, and if you wait 5 more minutes, more things come up.
Yeah.
You see the not piranhas because obviously they weren't here, but you see some other creatures come up.
Yeah, and like if there's any other bodies in here, I'll start doing the same thing. Like ultimately he doesn't understand why completely, but he's kind of just trying to return this place into part of the jungle.
Yeah.
And if there's no possible way of destroying it, at least leave it completely vacant.
Yeah, I mean, you know that breaking this place down would take a very long time.
We just need to tell Benson to swing away.
Swing away, Benson.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about like this skull of Tahak.
Yeah,
like, is it brittle now? You said something about the magic leaving this place. Like, does it crack and break old bones, or does it still have that sturdiness about it?
It is still a dragon skull.
Yeah.
So take that for what you will. But no, I mean, like I said, it's not warm anymore. It's still just dry bones at this point. So, I mean, if you take a mace to it, you might be able to chip at it.
And all that lava that was in the, or the molten stuff, is that cool now? Is that just...
Lava does take a while to cool down, but it is...
It's like starting to...
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. Wow.
In the same way that the gold did.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, everything just begins to settle. The cool, damp air of this place starts to seep in.
Hmm. Especially from that hole that Kyrian made in the roof.
Yes.
Hey, we have a skylight now.
There's a door.
You know, when you think about it, this is not a bad piece of property. Fix it up, rent it out.
Hey, get that lava restored. You could start cooking pizzas over it. You know? Oven. What's it? Some sort of Kezra made pizzas or something.
Mm-hmm. I cook my fucking pizzas on molten gold.
We could brand this as a swamp chalet.
Do you dream of falling asleep at the frightful gaze of the Sorrow Maker? Cooking your food on molten lava? Living in a swamp? Yeah, we got the place for you.
What's this place called again? The
Fortress of Sorrow.
The Fortress of Sorrow.
Come now, the Fortress of Sorrow. Halloween nights are amazing.
The only sorrow you're going to feel is if you skip breakfast and brunch.
Make sure to get your malaria inoculations.
Malaria inoculation not included.
$50 at the door.
So, you guys pack up and just head back. You have a long trip.
Yes. Yeah. Very long.
We have to go across the river.
Yeah. Well, you're the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so right. you have the boat that you could take. Do you guys want to do anything before you leave? Obviously, Elkwood returned things back to the
nature.
Back to nature.
Yeah. I feel like on the way back, Adelar is like talking to Kezra and it's like,
so what do you think? Think we should reassign Pippin's off to this new
new bed and breakfast location?
I mean, yeah, I feel like there's a lot of untapped potential.
All I care about is that our place is cleaned up when we get back.
Oh, you know that's not going to be the case.
If they want their gold, it'll be the case.
I will send them a message. So I
tell them I'm coming.
So the next day of our travel, I cast sending
quick send.
Okay, yeah.
Clean up now.
And I'm like, because you know they're like one and the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Dear Pippinsoff, we will be making our way back soon, and your payment will be...
Are you counting these words?
Yeah. We will be back soon. Your payment will come. Make sure the place is clean.
That's 25.
And they can respond.
Yep, 25 or less.
Where is Lokezra?
I can't respond.
They don't know how sending works.
He's like, he's being rude. He's not replying.
So the next day.
Oh my god. Well, like,
this message is from Lord Kezra. Clean up the place.
You get one back.
Let me speak to Lord Kezra.
Damn.
So, it's 2 days. You guys are walking back. You guys want to do anything while you guys are walking back?
It's like on the way back, like, yeah. He would actually go up the Benson and like kind of, he didn't really show excitement over, but he showed the longbow. He just, like, you know, imagine like the short bow is like, you know, something like this big, but
yeah,
now
yeah,
it's like
yeah.
this 6 foot long
yeah.
bow.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
just like, it just, you hear
Wait,
creaking.
I thought it was a short bow.
No,
longbow.
Longbow, oh, sorry.
The gracious GM gave me a longbow that's nice, composite, nice. So. But it's, like, benefits all of my strength now, too, so.
That sounds quite the weapon.
Yes.
More damage and more accuracy.
Yes. Awesome. Oh, yeah. The only problem is I can't shoot it within 30 feet, or I get a penalty.
Yeah.
So I can't just, like, point blank range.
Okay, the fact that in that last combat you... in one round killed one of those dragon priests with your sword
right.
means you don't need that 30 feet.
Oh, no, not at all. No, just close the distance. But like, he's just kind of like showing, he's like, do you have any weapons like this? And he just like pulls it, struggles for a moment, but then gets it locked back and then just shoots an arrow. Just, it goes, I think, pretty further too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, the range is amazing.
Mm.
Yeah. Any of our listeners that play Dark Souls, the, the archers in,
Anne Orlando.
Yeah, and Anne Orlando.
Well, yeah.
Those are dragon great bows.
Yes, those are fucking huge. They also shoot, like, ballista-sized arrows.
Nah, this is more like a medieval age longbow. User.
Oh, yeah.
The ones that, like, when they checked their skeletons and they knew they were longbow because their muscles and bones were all weirdly large and small.
Yeah.
Because that's all they did was just pulling this thing back.
Oh, your back muscles are, like, have to be huge to handle one of these.
Yeah, that's what they said. They were, like, their bone structure is actually different. Yeah.
That's incredible, Elkwood. You know what I'm excited for? I'm a Divine Paladin that now has access to the Arcane spell list.
What other spells do you have access to?
I don't know yet.
Is it just... Oh, right. Well, Sorcerer, you pick a spell.
Yeah, I gotta pick some spells.
Yeah.
We'll just keep poking him until his like spells come out. Like,
I'm absolutely
like
taking Mage Hand as a cantrip because it's the best cantrip in the fucking game.
Yeah, like he drops his sword. Sword comes back.
Mm-hmm. Comes back, yeah. So you guys take the long trek back. Let me go look at the map and see how many days it is. If you guys are going straight back, Let's just see.
Actually, yeah, like he would
make... Let's check out all the ones we didn't visit.
Yeah, yeah, I was about to say. No, there was probably one thing, but it could do it later. But he did want to go back to one spot in the map.
What was the name of the boat?
The
Thick Nigel's boat.
Yeah. Thick Nigel.
Yeah. SS Thick Nigel.
SS Thick Nigel.
Uh-huh.
I feel like we should get the Thick Nigel and take it up the river.
I mean, he's not going to come back for it because we killed his ass.
Yeah.
It no longer belongs to
it's
him.
Good boat.
Yeah, yeah. I assumed we were in the boat.
It is a longer boat, too, because remember, he had planned to put the pillar on top of it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's a long boat.
Yeah,
show us the map. Bring us the map.
His whole goal of, yeah, let me just bring this deactivated tower back to civilization. Oh, well, it activated and killed all the people looking at it, but don't worry about it.
Funny enough, that's exactly what would happen.
Really?
Yeah.
So there is a thing, like, if you don't do that.
And... Well, obviously the adventure knows you have to do it in order to disable it, and you have to disable it in order to, yeah. But no, it's one of those things that it's just like, yeah, if you want to disable that, or if you don't disable it, and he takes it, it would just go back. It would go back to Absalom, and it would turn a shit ton of people to stone. until some wizard walked in and was just like
cast illusionary wall,
right? And then cast dispel magic. Yeah.
Do we want to go up the river, or do we want to go straight across the jungle back to Acrabelle?
Let's just go as fast as we can to Acrabelle. Yeah.
Like I said, like the only thing Elk wants to do, like after he's kind of gets closer and closer back to Ackerville, he does want to stop back at the very first tower we went to, back where Skolt was buried.
Oh, okay.
So like this one right here, it's close to Ackerville.
Yeah, the closest one east.
Yeah, so it's not far. I think three squares, maybe.
So we'll go...
I'm waiting for the map.
Two unknown squares, then we get to that pillar, and then one more unknown square, and then we get back to Ackerville.
Yep.
That's cool, so we get to explore. Oh, snap. Are you... I see someone else on the map. We go west, then we go northwest, and then we can go, I guess, we could go north-north almost, or we could hit a couple unknowns, which is sweet.
As Jake is like, okay.
20
shots chosen just sitting here.
all right, so you guys make your way back. Figure how many days that is, but
I think it's a day per square, right?
It's 1 day per two squares. So
okay,
you guys are in the square with the Fortress of Sorrow. So if you guys go out that way, then you go down southwest immediately. So yeah, you guys go down into that one. There is some signs that you see that looks like, as you guys are walking, you see some footprints that appear to be more humanoid in shape. And as you go, you see some signs that looks like some like carvings in a tree that are symbols of the demon hunters that you guys saw at one point.
Oh, cool.
And they look fresh, so it looks like they are alive and they're making their way back home. So you feel a sense of peace about it, because you know they had come out here to kill that creature.
Yeah.
But you guys ended up killing it, but they're going home, actually.
Huh. Makes sense.
Right.
Alright.
And then you guys are just heading straight back.
We'll be here now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And starting to head north.
Gotcha.
I guess the square, this hex, will begin to cross back over the river.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So going here then?
Correct.
Okay. Then you get to the river. You could just cut straight across it if you guys are just going straight north. In which case, you will go to where the green pillar was, where you guys fought the jungle drakes.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I forgot if I asked that, but, like, the jungle drakes were part of the Hawks thing? Like, they had the intelligence?
Oh, you know what? I'll read this one to you, because it's funny. While the Cinderclaws originally left a group of guards behind to watch over the green dragon pillar, it wasn't long before the pillar attracted the attention of a group of jungle drakes. The two drakes ambushed the cultists, devoured half of them, and hung the remainder in the tree for a later meal.
Oh,
damn.
Although the jungle drakes were not intended guardians for the dragon pillar, they filled the role rather admirably, and the dragon pillar seems to like it.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
And then we killed them.
And then we killed them.
And then you killed them.
And top of the pillar.
Yes.
I mean, that's where I got my resilient leather armor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys go back there. You see some Drake bones. They have clearly been devoured. Their corpses. You guys continue heading north.
Boop. And I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
Few more days trip, and you guys get to the pillar. I think it was the Black Pillar. Is that what that was?
Wait, so we don't see anything in those other two squares?
Nope.
Wow. Let's check out. We could have gone that way and not hit anything.
Sure. Yeah, but you still had to hit the pillar of the gold mine.
I think after we beat the boss, Tim, most of the things despawned in the jungle.
Right. Yeah. I played enough Destiny. If you keep focusing the boss after you kill it, all the other things go away.
Yep. You just die.
You guys get back to the Black Pillar, where there is a bald spot in the grass where Elkwood had buried Skult.
Yeah. Yeah, and he just kind of walks up to the grave and doesn't really, like, keeps people wash. Or, like, he's like, well, you guys can go on. I know the way. I just need a moment.
Well?
Don't take too long.
Of course not. We're so close.
Yeah.
I wouldn't dare wait longer.
Mourn in whatever way you choose, and I head off.
Yeah, give him his privacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he just kind of kneels at the grave for a bit, just kind of puts his hand over the fresh mound, and just kind of laments that he could have done things probably a bit differently with Skult, that Skult definitely did not do well in the Milwaukee, which he kind of feels extremely guilty about. Hmm. Kind of like dragging someone along that definitely shouldn't have gone. And he kind of just keeps sitting there, and like Vemir is kind of like in the tree behind him. And he's just, the thoughts going through his head are just constant swirl of like his past coming back, when he first met Skull, like when he befriended the little thing, like, and it was like a little puppy coming through, and then sending him on to missions that he was used Skull in order to get ahead of things. But after a certain while, he just kind of presses both hands back on the grave and thinks, he doesn't understand any afterlife issues in Galarian. Like, he's not a religious person. And simply just sighs, and he goes, well, I wish things were better. I really wish you didn't have to come along with me. I wish I left you behind, honestly. But you don't have to worry. I got Vemir, and he is going to help protect me as well. I will keep living for you. Just kind of, like, covers the fresh mound with, like, I don't know, like, some, like, foliage and stuff, just to cover completely, like, to make it seem like that there's no grave here at all, and, like, almost make it seem everything's back to how it was before they even reached that spot. Kind of, like, leave no tracks. But he still just kind of sits in the clearing for a little bit and just enjoys the relative silence, perhaps the sound of bird, like, other birds in the trees, or crickets, or whatever monstrous insects are in the jungle. Milwaukee.
Yeah, it goes kind of quiet as you're just sitting there lamenting and just sort of being at peace with things.
Yeah, and everyone else kind of is, are they back in Ackerville at this point, or? Only like, what, 10 miles?
It's about 5 or 6 miles, just because of the positioning of
yeah,
where this
is. And, like, honestly, it's so close that he doesn't need help. Like, at this point, like, I would say, like, with all of us, we should be fine.
Yeah.
And also, everyone should know that he is extremely stealthy and blends into everything at this point.
As you get up to leave, feeling a little bit of peace about things, you hear a slight voice that sounds kind of close, and it's just, all things decay, you will do one day, Ranger. And it sounds so close, and you look behind you and Vemir's just there. He just sort of cocks his head a bit.
The guy turns the Vemir, just looks and kind of just bows. I guess, no, I understand that. I believe nothing is meant to last forever. And we will all return to the Earth once all things are done. Otherwise, it's a waste.
And like, his gaze is kind of a lot, like, more hardened about it this time. Like, instead of absolute confusion, which he is confused, but he also is just staring, but not breaking contact.
Waste nothing. Take all.
I'll see you guys next time.
Oof, creepy.
Hello everyone, Mark here as the voice of Elgood Grimm, to remind you to follow us all on our socials to stay up to date with the DPS content and Pathfinder-related news. If you want more DPS content in your life, be sure to check out our Twitch and YouTube channels, as well as our Discord and subreddit for episode discussions, conversations about gaming, and hey, if you like memes, we got the memes. And hey, if you need some last-minute gifts for the holiday, why don't you just stop by our merch store at DragonPunchSquadMerch.com. See you on the next episode.